Good evening to everyone. It's good to see all of you here, especially if you are visiting. We ask that members and visitors alike please complete a card that's in the pew in front of you and pass it to one of the aisles. We'll continue our summer series this Sunday night, and our speaker our speaker is Vincent McKinney. Brother McKinney was born in Chicago, and he, along with his mother and siblings, later moved to Houston. And after a long search for biblical truth, he obeyed the gospel in July of 2012 at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ in Houston. In 2015, Vincent began preaching part-time for the North Fort Bend Church of Christ in Katy. And in 2019, he became the full-time pulpit minister there. He's employed at Baker Hughes, and he's been there for 20 years. And he and his wife, Tanya, were married in 2023. Let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you for our gathering here for this summer series tonight. We ask you to be with Brother McKinney as he speaks from your word. We ask also that you continue to bless his work in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good evening. Good evening. We truly serve a good God. I'm going to ask everybody if you please can bear with me this evening. I have a bit of a cold. I don't have COVID. My wife, she put this thing all up in my nose, turned around, and she said, "You're not going if you have COVID." So we don't have COVID, but just bear with me. We're going to do God's power and by your grace, and just bear with me this evening. We truly serve a good God. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12, he said, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." God knows everything that's going on. He's aware of everything that's going on in our life, in the world. But it says his ears are open to our prayers. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to hear our praises. He wants to hear our proclamations, how we proclaim his name in this world. David said in Psalm 34, verse number 1, he said, "I'll bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." And when I think about all times, what does all times mean? It doesn't matter the circumstances, the conditions, the situations. He said, "I'll bless the Lord at all times." I'm trying to get to that point, no matter what's going on in my life, that we're going to praise the Lord and give God some thanks. Amen. I want to thank Brother John Baker for just the invite to come here. This, I don't take this lightly. Here at the Katy Church of Christ, when he called me, he reached out to me, said, "I want you to be a part of this summer series." I told my wife about it. We prayed on it. I told the North Fort Bend Church of Christ. So I just want you to know that we don't take it lightly. Amen. And you can let Brother John Baker know Brother Vincent had a cold when he came here. So this is a reason for to have me back. Amen. So we want Brother Vincent at his best. So we got to have Brother Vincent back. Amen, somebody. Now I walked up here without my Bible. How often do you do that? Amen. But I wouldn't have made it here about my lovely wife, Sister Tanya. She's been giving me soup. She's been giving me tea with lemon and honey in it. And she told me, she said, "You're going to power through it." She said, "You're going to power through it, man up." She was like a drill sergeant. So I just want you to know my wife right here, I'm here because of her. She said, "Listen, we're going to power through it." So just I hope, trust and pray that you just bear with me this evening, please. Today I'm coming out of 1 John chapter 4. The verse is going to be 15 through 18. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 15 through 18. I see some members here from the North Fort Bend Church of Christ, and we thank God for their presence and all those who are visiting with us. At the North Fort Bend Church of Christ, we emphasize, we stress spiritual growth. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he said, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We all have room to grow spiritually, amen? And so there we always emphasize is spiritual growth. 1 John chapter 4, I'll be reading from the ESV translation. verses 15 through 18. Say amen if you're there. The Bible reads, whoever confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The title of my message is The Heights, What Heights of Love. When I think about the heights of God's love, I don't think about it in terms of some extreme elevated distance as God loving me from a distance. I know God is able to love from a distance. The Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 6, it says, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. He can sit high. God is above. He's God over the earth, the heavens, the universe, and he can look low and he can love and comfort even the lowly of this world, the disregarded of this world, the neglected in this world. He says, but the haughty, he knows from a distance. He knows how to keep his distance from the proud and the arrogant. But when I think about the heights of God's love, I don't think about it in terms of a great distance. I think about it in terms of an extreme elevated enlightenment or awareness, an understanding of God's extraordinary love. His love is close to me. It's near and dear to my heart, his love. He comforts me. I experience his love. Every time I'm going through something and I go to God in prayer, I experience him comforting me. When I go to his word and I'm searching for help in my life, I experience it the way the Lord comforts me. The Bible says in Psalm 36, verse 7, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Have you ever seen a child, a baby crying, looking for its mother? Maybe something has happened. Maybe they fell down, someone teasing, and they looking for their mother, and they run to their mother, and the mother comforts them. The child knows that the mother loves them. The child knows that I can get comfort from him. I hope we have that attitude about God, that we know God loves us. John said, we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. Do we know God loves us? The Bible says in Psalm 136, verse 1, Psalm 136, verse 1, he says, giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. When I think about the heights of God's love, I think about it in terms of a never-ending love, a timeless love, that God will never stop loving me. See, this is extraordinary love. It's different. People may stop loving you. Family members may stop loving you, but you know by God, when we have this understanding of this eternal love, God will never stop loving me. Jesus taught his disciples. He said, listen, you're going to need this. You need this understanding because it's going to be a day when you'll be personally persecuted. He started talking about the end times, wars, rumors of wars, nations rising up against nations, famines, earthquake in various places. And then he gets to them personally. Listen to what he says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and lead many astray, because lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold. He said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. He said, it's going to be a time when you're not going to find love in this world. This love is going to be lacking. Daughters don't love mothers. Mothers don't love daughters. And sons don't love fathers. Fathers don't love sons. When the spouses don't love one another. When members in the body of Christ don't love other members in the body of Christ, we need to know that we serve a God. It's extraordinary love, that his love is close, it's near, it's dear, it's present in my life, and it's eternal. God of love, he's an everlasting. He'll love us throughout eternity, throughout time. It's mind-blowing when you think about the heights of God's love. Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus that they get this understanding so they can be rooted and grounded in this love, so it can give them strength and confidence. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. He said, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He said, listen, he's praying for him. He said, "I want this to give you strength. Know that you're rooted and you're grounded in God's love. It's going to give us confidence. It's going to give us comfort. It's going to give us courage to stand on God's love." Says, "In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light and my strength and my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought of storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comfort are my all in all. Here in the love of Christ, I stand." Aren't we singing that every week? It's an extraordinary love. And he wants us to get, John wants us to get it. Paul wants us to get it. I believe here, the leadership here at the Katy Church of Christ, they want us to know that we are loved by God. And John chapter 4, John talks about a perfect love. And he says this perfect love cannot coexist with fear. This perfect love casts out fear. This perfect love will not allow fear to be in its presence. We can't say we have this perfect love and then we fearing the day of judgment. He says it doesn't go like that. We got to know that we have God's love. It's present with us and it's eternal and it casts out all fear. Listen to what John says. 1 John chapter 4, 15 and 16. He says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. God is love. His nature is love. God can never sit his love aside. It'd be like sitting himself aside. He is love. His nature is love. When he gives us guidance, that's love. When he tells us, listen, you don't go this way, I need you to go that way. And this book and his word and his scriptures give us guidance. That's love. What father wouldn't give their child guidance? We would talk about a father like that. If a father said, listen, I put food on the table, I put clothes on your back, I put a roof over your head, but if you're not giving the child any guidance, we would criticize that. Give the child some guidance in this life. We serve a good God because he gives us his guidance. He says, whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We can't separate it. We can't say that I have Christ, Christ is my Savior, and we're not walking in love. We're not dealing with love in our life. We're not demonstrating love in our life. John says that can't be so. Write this down. We must demonstrate that God's love is present in our life, that God's love is always present in our life. How much time do I have? Wait a minute, because I don't see any clocks up here. Y'all gonna throw me some signals or something? How much time? Something's gonna go off. Okay, I'm just saying, let me know, because Brother Van, my wife says I'm a little long-winded. I don't know what that means. I'm a little long-winded, but just let me know, okay? Throw me a signal or something. But we must demonstrate God's love in our life. This is what God wants. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. He says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Listen, he said, we can no longer live for ourselves. We got to live for Christ, his love. When I think about what he did for me, While I was a sinner, and Christ died for me. When I wasn't thinking about him, he was thinking about me. The price he paid for me, he said, this love, it controls us. When I think about it, we enter into an eternal love that he'll never stop loving us. A close comfort love that can comfort us, give us strength, give us courage to endure whatever we have to endure. When you think about that, it compels us now to want to live the way he would have us to live. And we're going to need it because he has a high call on our life. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. See, I had to grow to this one. This was y'all here at Katy Church of Christ, y'all might say, Brother Vincent, we got this perfected. You may have no problem loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute. And it's not a mean prayer. It's praying for them, praying that God touch them. Amen. I had to grow to this. See, this is the type of love he wants us to walk into. We can't say we have no love and no care for our enemies. We have to love them. We have to share the word when we got to know that God can touch their heart just like he touched our heart. This is the type of love he wants us to walk in. This is that perfect love that John is talking about, that we have to walk in that. How are we at loving our enemies? He says in verse 45, so that you may be the sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. See, God is feeding everybody. He's taking care of everybody. I hear some people, members in the body of Christ, not concerned about the poor, say, well, they need to pull themselves up by their own bootstrap. I'll pull myself. They need to take care of themselves. Jesus was here. He was concerned about the poor, the sick. Jesus would stop what he's doing and heal somebody and heal the sick. Some of the attitudes in the Church of Christ, listen, we ought to be concerned. We're going to help where we can. And I know Katy Church of Christ here, I know they help where they can. But all the members, we need to understand this and notice that this is the type of love that God wants us to walk in. He says in verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the collectors, tax collectors do the same. If we only love those who love us, we only love those in the body of Christ. He said, that's not the type of love that he's talking about. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. We have opportunity to do good to everybody. He says in verse 47, and if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same. My wife and I was talking. She said, have you ever spoke here? I said, no, I've never spoken here before. She said, you know, we really couldn't tell because when we come in, the way the members here greet my wife, the way they greet me, it's, you would think we was members here. We come, we talked about it in the car. We come there, they stop me at the door, they talk, and we appreciate the love here at the Katy Church has shown to us. And y'all keep praying for us at the North Fort Bend Church of Christ, and we pray for you. But we see the love when we come here. And then how you treat my wife and how you treat me. And I just want you to know it's greatly appreciated. He says in verse 48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's a high call. So when we talk about this perfect, when John talks about this perfect love and abiding in this perfect love, we have to walk in it. Jesus said, John 15, verse 9 through 11, John 15, verse 9 through 11. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you and abide in my love. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. Verse 11. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. He said, it's going to do something for us. When I'm walking in this love, we're keeping his commandments. We're abiding in him. We're learning to love our enemies. We're learning to love our neighbors. We're learning to love those in the body, outside the body. We're just learning to just love. We walking in that. He said it's going to fill you. It's going to do something for you. So when we sing that song, here in the love of Christ I stand, and the courage that it gives us, the strength that it gives us, the comfort that it gives us. John goes on to say, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. He says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. He talks about confidence on the day of judgment. You know, members of the body of Christ, we shouldn't be walking around in fear of the day of judgment. God would not have it that way. He says this perfect love, you know what, we're looking forward to that day. We're looking forward to Christ's return. But Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge will give to me on that day. And not only to me alone, for all those who love his appearance. He's not thinking about not being with God forever. We shouldn't be thinking about not being with God forever. Write this down. We must know that God's love for us is eternal. He gives us an eternal. See, that's how extraordinary this is. This is what John is saying. This is how extraordinary God's love is in our life. Because we know it goes beyond this world. It's an eternal love. It's an eternal comfort that we have right now. Listen what Paul said. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 16 and 17. He says, now may the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. He says he's given us eternal comfort. How can I walk around in fear that day, that judgment day, not knowing if I'm gonna get in or not get in? Wondering if I did enough, if I said enough, if I showed up enough. He said, that should not be. That's not a perfect love that we're walking in. He should give us an eternal comfort. John said in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do we know that? Do we know that we have eternal? How much does God love us? Do we know? He says we know and believe the love that God has for us. Do you know that God loves you? How much? Does he love you with an eternal love? Listen to what Jesus says. John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. All that the Father gives him, when they come to him, he'll never cast them out. I grew up, was born in Chicago. Born in Chicago, and my grandmother, one summer, my brother and I, we was getting up in age. She took us to this summer program. And so what we had to do, we had to catch the bus to go to the summer program. She taught us how to catch the bus, get a transfer, catch another bus. Now, we were not there all day, so it was not like summer camp. So you would come back at the end of the day. So after the end of the day, we would get back on the bus, transfer, come back, but my grandmother didn't give us any keys. We didn't have keys to get in the house. So my brother and I, we would get off the bus, and we would literally run to the front door. We would race. My brother and I would race to the front door. And we race to the front door, and we knocking on the door. And my grandmother would come up, we call her Gigi, my grandma Gigi. Gigi would come up to the door, who is it? And we wouldn't even say our name. We say, Gigi, it's us. Gigi, it's us. We know the love that she has for us. We had no doubt that she was gonna let us in. We had no worry, no stress, nothing, no questions that she was gonna open the door and let us in. Because we knew how much love she had for us. Do we know that about God? Do we know the love that God has for us? Listen to what Jesus says. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me and raise it up on the last day. He said, this is God's will. Jesus said, it's God's will that you be with me. It's God's will that we be with him. On the day of judgment, coming there, it's us. He said, it's us, and we coming to meet him. And he said, it's no fear on the day of judgment. Because of this love, we have confidence on the day of judgment, that you may know that you have eternal life. He says in verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. He talks about this fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. He said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Now I'll say this right now, if we know that we're living outside of God's plan for our life, outside of his commandments, outside of his will, we need to repent. That is a fear that we all should have, that we need to repent and turn from those ways. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Do we believe that? He says, listen, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. John is saying, we got to walk in this. We have to walk in this. I know people outside the body of Christ, and they tell me, Vince, y'all think y'all going to heaven. I said, you don't think you're going to heaven? You should. We should. I wear it. We don't turn away from that. The Bible tells us how to get in. The Bible tells us what to do to be saved. The Bible tells us we need to walk in his love, stay in his love. And he loves us with an eternal love. John said, I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Paul said he give you an eternal comfort. Write this down. The love of Jesus has taken away the fear of eternal punishment. When you know that God, Jesus came down and he died for our sins. He shed his blood. He didn't do that for nothing. He shed his blood for our sins that we may have right to the tree of life. It takes that away. He was in my place. It should have been me, but he took my place. He took the punishment for you and I. He should take that away from us. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, 7, 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 9. He said, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I had to look at that. You know, when we look out in the world and we see the ungodly, Christ died for them. If you have the ungodly in your family, you see in your family, Christ died for them. Amen. Neighbors, you have neighbors, ungodly neighbors, Christ died for them. In the world, and then when we look on our jobs, our co-workers, ungodly co-workers, Christ died for them. I'm looking at this now, and I'm looking at everything. Listen, you got to let them know. Yes, they got to be baptized and washed in the blood of Jesus, but I let everybody know when I come in contact with them, Christ died for you. He came down, he shed his blood, he did this that we may have right to the tree of life. He says, listen, verse 7, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. You know, rarely do you see that somebody give, that's the ultimate sacrifice. Somebody give their life for someone else. You can't give more than that. I mean, people can give and help and do things for people, but to give your life for someone, it's the ultimate sacrifice. Verse number 8, he says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I wasn't thinking about him, he was thinking about me. You know, when you just think about this love, and he talks about this love that controls us, the love that gives us comfort, gives us confidence, gives us assurance for eternal life. What heights of love. Verse number 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. God has a wrath. It's the wrath of God. And I don't even know if we're going to even realize the full extent of it. This love. And we see this wrath of God and what he saved us from. The full extent of what he's done, what he has done for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us, but he said, listen, this is a gift. We serve a good God. This gift that he gives us, Jesus Christ, now that we can have right to the tree of life, he paid it for us. So now I don't have to worry about those sins anymore. I don't have to stress. We shouldn't be stressed over that. He paid it all. We know if we fall short, we can go to him and we can ask for forgiveness. But we shouldn't be walking in this fear. Paul said, speaking of his testimony, Paul said that Ananias told him, why wait? Why tarry? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Listen to what he says, what Ananias said to him in Acts chapter 22, 15 and 16. He says, for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. Verse 60. Now, why do you wait? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. He said, listen, it's this understanding now. This blood, when we washed in the blood, can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He said, now, we shouldn't have that over us no more. That shouldn't be over us. We shouldn't be walking around with that guilty conscience. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you got up, you went down a sinner, you come up a saint, you walking in the newness of life. You walking in confidence. Well, we say, Abba, Father, we know that he loves us. John said, we come to know and believe the love that God has for us. Do we believe it? He says, therefore, by this love is perfected that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. For love casts out fear. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us. When we were washing that blood, it's nothing can separate. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 35, he says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? He says, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. He said, no, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am sure, some translations say, I'm persuaded. He said, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we have that mindset? Nothing will be able to separate us. We're going to be with him throughout eternity. What heights of love. What heights of love. I hope, trust, and pray that we take away, that we go. You can bring the last slide up. This, you know, I was moving kind of quick. I should have slowed down a little bit. Yeah, I done ran out of scripture. But I just hope, trust, and pray that this message, this is what heights of love. I'm so glad he asked me to do this. That this love gives us strength, courage, confidence, comfort. This love, knowing that you loved, gives us comfort. That we can go out in the world not fearing anything and share with anybody that God loves you and he died for you. I just hope this lesson has been a blessing. All right, thank you.